A normal sequence of Sundays is interrupted this weekend with the solemnity of the Transfiguration. This event, which occurred in the life of our Lord, is a mystery of power, light, and grace. The early church fathers clearly illustrate and teach us that this event, which embraced the inner core of the apostolic band, Peter, James, and John, was an event for their sake. They were taken up Mount Tabor, and our Lord, having led them to the summit, then disappeared into a mystical vision in which these three disciples, the two brothers, James and John, and Simon Peter, beheld the presence of Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the Torah, the Pentateuch, and Elijah the prophets, both the prophets and the scriptures foretell the coming of Christ, the Messiah, and that as the suffering servant he would offer himself as a victim on the cross for our sins. So the event that they visualized mystically, spiritually, was for their benefit, so that the presence of Christ in their midst might always be focused on his goal, Calvary, the reason for his existence on earth. The apostles were overwhelmed with what occurred, and the sight of Christ in glory, with light beyond human reckoning, overwhelmed them. At the end of the vision, having tasted the presence of God, they did not want to leave the mountain. They wanted to stay there, put up three tents or booths. And we'll be like that in heaven. We won't want to ever leave. It will be so overwhelming, so gratifying, so pleasing, where every desire shall be satisfied. We won't want to depart. The vision ended, the two Old Testament figures, characters left, and our Lord leads them down from the mountain. One might say, back from heaven to earth, to the mundane. This event, to bolster their faith and encourage them, would remain with them. But what was that back then for us today? John Paul II made this event in the life of our Lord one of the luminous mysteries. A mystery in history, a mystery for us. And I think that the Transfiguration is mysterious for us and helps us in two ways. One concerning our faith, one concerning hope. Faith is what we believe. So many things that we believe are beyond the natural. They're supernatural. And being supernatural, we can't box them in. We can't contain them. We don't see all that we believe. In fact, we see very little of what we believe. But that should not surprise us, because in natural science, we see very little of the world of light and energy. The electromagnetic spectrum, which carries us our radio waves, our microwave waves, gamma rays, your Wi-Fi, as well as the color spectrum by which you see things, is vast. In fact, the color spectrum is all we do see of the electromagnetic wave or spectrum. And that's only one third of the big picture of energy and power. You can look at your microwave functioning for half an hour while it's cooking something, probably be burnt by then, but you can't see those waves zapping that food. You can't see the Wi-Fi waves going up and down, popping into your tablet or your phone, but they exist. They're there. So we only see a part of the picture. We don't see all that there is in natural power and energy. Well, so too, we don't see all that there is in our supernatural faith. There's more here than what we can take on board. So always bear that in mind. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg concerning angels, the real presence, the divinity of Christ. These are profound supernatural mysteries. And in this world, in this life, we lack the physical sight to see the big picture. And our faith is far bigger, far greater than we can imagine. Like, for example, the apostles, being with Jesus, they could not imagine him in glory until they saw him. We need to think of that and remind ourselves of that when doubts come or difficulties in our faith. Remind yourself, there's a bigger picture here I cannot yet see. Secondly, this helps us in our hope. Faith is what we believe. Hope is in whom we believe. It's not a something, but a someone. And that someone is Christ. These three apostles who knew our Lord intimately, on this occasion saw him in majesty. They were awestruck. And that's the meaning of the word awe. Awful or awesome means overwhelming, bewildering. They were struck down by the real presence of Christ. We, being people of prayer, should have a sense of holy awe in his presence. When we come into the church, when we talk to him, when we say our prayers, it's very easy to domesticate Christ and our prayer life and think of him as just another person. He is not another person. He is God, the Lord. He is awesome and bewildering. And we need to fall down on our knees in his presence and tremble with holy fear. Not a fear of punishment, a fear that we sometimes have when we see a police car chasing us, but a fear of God's holiness, of which we are so unholy and unworthy. May this mystery, as it unravels in your life and bolsters your faith and hope, encourage you, as I'm sure it encouraged many saints, including the saint of this week, Blessed Mary of the Cross, MacKillop, who as an Aussie understood the difficulties we have to encounter and put up with in this life, in this country. May she help us as God helped her to become a saint.